Greetings of peace. Welcome to the Dean Show. For those that don't know about my next guest, we're going to educate you real quick and come right back.
Gracie, who is the world champion jiu-jitsu player, he is the lightest combatant of everybody. I think he weighs 176.
No rules. Guy's bigger than him, and he's wearing his gi.
Everyone else looks like big old street thugs.
Every man was a champion on their own style. Style against his style. The winner moves on, the loser goes home.
What made you decide to fight with the gi on?
It's a trap. Human instinct. Grab on. If I have nothing to grab, what am I going to do? I'm going to punch you.
He didn't tell me that he was like a phenomenal. You know what I'm saying? He's a legend.
For most people, our introduction to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu was you in UFC 1.
Grappling is a very, very interesting art. And I...
This is the Dean Show. Now, for the younger generation who know about Khabib and Hamzat, before them, there was the original UFC champ. It's my friend and my brother, Royce Gracie.
How are you, sir?
How are you, brother? Assalamu alaikum. How you been?
Life is good in my world. No complaints.
Very nice to see you here again with us.
Again.
How you been?
Traveling the world, living life.
You just came back from the 100-year anniversary?
Yes. That was awesome.
How was that?
It was good. That was about, that was about 900 students on the mat. That was the biggest class I ever seen. 900 students, that was at least about 50 Gracies teaching, walking around.
The whole
not
family?
Not the whole family, no. Not even a quarter of the family.
Who was there? Some names that you mentioned. Holker before?
Hens was there. Holker was there. Hiron.
Helson?
Helson was
How's
there.
How's he doing? How's yep. Helson?
Helson. Helson's son.
You know, I haven't met Hoyler.
Hoyler did not make it. Hoyler could not make it. Could not go. But there was a lot Henner, of ones. Kira, Hannah.
Hickson. How about Hickson?
Hickson could not make it either. Yeah.
How's he doing? How's his health? How's Hickson doing?
He got the Parkinson, right?
Yeah.
Parkinson.
So like with Muhammad Ali?
Yes. Yeah. So he's trying. He's a fighter. So he's not going to just give up. Oh, my God, I got this. No.
Yeah.
Hickson doesn't give up. We don't give up.
Yeah,
he got his problems, but we learned how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So they're not problems, they're solutions. And that's one thing that jiu-jitsu teach people, how to deal with situation under stress.
Yeah.
How to make a decision, how to decide which way to go under stress.
Mm-hmm.
So you get caught in an arm lock, you get caught in a choke, and you got a fraction of a second to decide to escape. And
yeah.
So,
Horian, was Horian there?
No, Horian could not make it either.
Okay, but you got a lot of the family members.
A lot
huh?
of cousins, yes.
Yeah.
A lot of cousins. It was fun. It was fun to see.
Now I mentioned when I opened up, I mentioned many people they know about Khabib, and now you have Hamzat, champion. But before all of them, because there's new generations. Before all of them, we had Royce Gracie, who's sitting here with me, you know, and let's talk about a little bit, because a lot of these youngsters now, they need to be educated. Some of them, this was way before the internet, right?
Before, I mean, on the beginning.
No internet. We didn't have YouTube.
No, there was no studying the opponents. No. Come on, man, don't give my age out, okay? Don't call me that. Are you calling me old?
I remember because look,
there was no internet. Really, hey, thanks for reminding me.
I was watching you and
we used smoke signal back then.
After the UFC, I remember the VHS tapes. It was Horian and you. Remember the tapes?
Yes.
Yeah, the self-defense.
The self-defense tapes. The action.
I had all
fights
of those
in Brazil.
Yeah.
Yep.
In action. So go ahead. What were you saying?
But in the beginning, it was a style against a style.
Yeah.
So people were trying, always had the question of which style is the best.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to step in and try. You see, like karate or kung fu, they're all good. But which one is the best? Karate or kung fu? People did not want to step on each other's toes. All we did is, okay, let's put it to the test. Take the rules, take the time limit, the weight division, and put karate against kung fu. See what, which one is the best. Get the best karate guy, the best kung fu guy. And that's how the UFC got created.
Those mats you see that you saw here where you stayed, the mats, the green ones, those are original mats that I had when I just started, those mats. And I used to be bringing people in the beginning, and we had the Gracie challenge matches in my house or in my basement on those mats. And I'd be selling jiu-jitsu. But then, you know, you can talk about it. They say, get out of here. What are you gonna? I said, come, let's try. And then I'm, you know, submitting people.
Most of the challenges that we had before the UFC, back in the garage days, when we used to teach in the garage, and even when we opened up the first Gracie Academy in Torrance, California, Horion was not trying to... and he was not telling us beat up the opponent. Yeah. It's a fight. No, he'll tell me, he'll tell the students. Horton always says, man, let's convince the guy, educate him, and convince him to become a student. So beat him without hurting him. That's what the guys who come in, if most likely they would become a student. Because they will try the karate style, the boxing, the wrestling. They will try, and we'll subdue them without hurting them. Most of the time, they became students.
So the first, you had the first UFC, then the second. At what point, it actually got banned at one point, right? There was no time limits. For those that don't know, people right now, they're seeing the modern day UFC, but back, if we take them back at your time, time limits. What else? No weight. It was a gentleman's rule not to bite.
Bite and eye gouge. That's the only rule.
That was like a gentleman's agreement.
But there was no disqualification.
Yeah, but you.
But there was no time limit.
Even
no,
in the groin, you can
no
hit
weight
the,
division.
Everything
no, now, no gloves, but groin shots. Yes. Okay. All good. Go ahead.
Now you can't. You can. What happens right now? You cannot do any of those things. It's all part of the rules.
They had to unify the rules to make it. Because the thing is, on the beginning, we could only do the UFC on the states, if I remember correctly, the states that did not have athletic commission or boxing commission. Mm-hmm. So I think it was Denver, Colorado did not have a boxing or athletic commission. So we could get away with doing over there. Indian reservations. So they tried to ban some places.
There was that senator, that congressman, that was one, that he was really...
John McCain.
That was him, yeah.
He was against, because he was part of the boxing commission, I guess.
So it's about
that's
money.
What I heard.
He was...
Okay. I heard that he was part. So he was trying to ban the UFC because the UFC was getting momentum in calling everybody
it's gonna
out.
It's going to now affect boxing and... his people getting paid on this.
So they, but then they had to unify the rules, the time limit, to make it approved, to be approved by the athletic commission.
But then it was banned for some time, right? Or these it stopped, kind of slowed down for a while.
It got a bad publicity, but it had to be done that way.
Yeah.
It's two men walk in, one man walk out. It had to have that kind of publicity. I don't know if you remember the movie Mad Max, Thunderdome.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
it's like they build a cage and two men walk in, fight to the death. And it was like they had to do that kind of publicity to shock everybody, to call the attention in the beginning.
When did Dana White, because people now know Dana White, but before Dana White, it was Horion Gracie.
Horion with
Horion Gracie family.
Art Davey and John Millers, the producer, director for Conan the Destroyer, the Dirty Harry, the producer, him, Horion, Art Davey, and Semaphore Entertainment, SEG, with Bob Meyerowitz. Yeah. They're the ones that got together and create the first UFC.
There was no Dana White at that time?
No. So then after that, I think it was after UFC 5 or 6, that Horion sold the show.
Many people don't know about this. These early beginnings. I mean, how the Gracies were the ones, that actually started the UFC.
With no gloves.
Yeah. And then how long after, what year was the first UFC?
93.
So then when did Dana White jump in?
I don't remember.
What was it, the Fuente brothers? They came and bought it?
The
two brothers?
Fertitta brothers. Fertitta brothers.
They're the ones who bought it from Horion?
Yes, they bought it from Horion. Okay. I think they're the ones that... They bought it, and then Dana White came in with them.
Yeah. Does Horian like look back and say, man, I shouldn't have sold this?
No, no. The message was done.
It was done.
The message,
the mission was accomplished.
The message was done. The message was trying to find which style of martial art is the best style. Because every back then was a everybody was learning single styles. And we proved that Gracie Jiu-Jitsu was the best self-defense style out there.
Mm-hmm.
So
by far.
And yeah. then people now today, they don't learn one style anymore. Everybody's learning everything. They learn stand-up style from karate, taekwondo, from boxing, kickboxing, to judo, to takedowns, judo, wrestling, and the submissions from jiu-jitsu and control on the ground. So, and sambo, and everybody's learning everything now.
Now that gave birth to MMA.
MMA, yes.
Mixed martial arts that came, right?
Good times.
Yeah. How do you? What?
That was the evolution. It happened.
Yeah.
So Harden feeling regret. I talked to him about it. He's like, nope, we did our job.
How's he doing? Did he show up?
He couldn't make it to the Brazil 100 years of Gracie Jiu-Jitsu.
He's been on the Dean show twice. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Harden is very good.
Yeah, I enjoy talking with him. Yeah.
He knows history.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the history? Yeah. He knows all the dates and
who were, and I really want people, because again, for the younger generations, I mean, again, I mentioned Habib, Hamzat, but there would be no UFC, there would be no Habib or Hamzat, you know, being champions if there was no UFC, and there wouldn't be UFC, I mean, if it wasn't for the Gracie family, Royce Gracie. So going back to those beginnings, knowing this history is very important.
It's not if
and, it was, and then the, your father and
the I got to fix this.
Please.
If there was no Royce Gracie, people never saw me fighting.
Yeah.
That's what I tell people. I saw you fighting. No, you didn't. You saw the technique.
Yeah.
It wasn't this beautiful face. It's like, so you saw the technique of a 180-pound person, 178, 180-pound person, defend himself, and subduing somebody bigger and stronger and champion of their style without hurting the opponent. I'll choke the guys out. The guy's 240, 250, 260, 300 pounds. I'll choke them out, subdue them without hurting them. So that would shock the world, would impress the world.
Mm-hmm. Who were your toughest fights? Would you say the top three toughest fights from those earlier UFCs?
Toughest fights is inside of my head, my imagination. What I think the opponent's going to do.
Oh.
I got to wake up every morning, not back then, today. I got to wake up today and deal with that monster inside of my head. If I can win, I'll get out of bed. On the day that I lose to that monster inside of my head, I'll stay in bed.
I went back and looking before preparing for this interview to go look at some old fights, and I was watching a few of them. The Keith Hackney, he was a really tough guy. He was a karate guy, right?
He was fast, very hard hit. He hit the top of my head.
Oof.
I saw his punch coming. I ducked. I was like, oh, shh. He hit the top of the head twice. As soon as we went to the ground, I passed my gi on to see, because I thought for sure he cut my head open. Mm-hmm. That's how hard he hit.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the punch coming in slow motion. I was like, oh no, duck. It's like head down. He hit the top of the head.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was going to get stitches on my head. That's how hard he hit.
But it didn't cut open.
Did not cut open.
Wow. Yeah. And then you finished.
I have a hard head.
Yeah. And then you finished with an arm lock.
Yep.
Yeah. Had him in the guard.
But he was tough. And he knew.
Yeah.
He studied my style.
And he was keeping the distance.
He was trying to hold the gi, keep me away. Yes.
Yeah. And then Dan Severn. That was a long
fight. Dan Severn. Then the beast Severn, man. It's watch what he did. What's more impressive is watching what he did to the opponents before me.
Mm-hmm.
How he slammed people left and right, throwing them on their heads and destroying them like there was nothing. You see, it's like, because if you only see my fight with him, it's not that impressive. But you see what he's able to do, what he did to the opponents before me. He was like, oh my God, this guy's unstoppable. There's no way, nobody can beat him. 260 plus pounds, All-American wrestler. Until he ran into me.
Mm-hmm.
He ran into me, and that's when he had a hard time. He didn't know how to finish the fight. Wrestling is very good, but they don't have submissions. So he couldn't finish the fight.
I can imagine. How was his pressure from the top?
Oh, very heavy.
Very heavy, right?
Very heavy. He knows how much
did
he weigh?
What did you say?
265.
And what are you at? 178.
So
again, now,
but he knows. It's not just that he's heavy. He's not just heavy. He knows how to use his weight. He's a wrestler, all-American wrestler. He knows.
So that 260
body position.
Yeah, when you're putting that pressure, that's like, you know,
350.
Yeah.
It's like that much weight. The base is so good. Mm-hmm. So, but you see what he did before he ran into me, and that's what's shocking. Mm-hmm. And then he couldn't finish me. We went for like 16 and a half minutes fighting, and that's when I finished him. And back then, there was no time limit. There was no rounds. Mm-hmm. So it's not like today, five-minute rounds.
Yeah, like right now, you have the time limits. Back then, now that's set your 175. He's 260, so that's like almost 80, 90 pounds difference.
Yeah.
That's huge. Did you feel sore after that fight?
Oh, even if every fight, every you're always fight. Sore. It doesn't matter. When you finish the fight, you're always sore. Even if you don't take a hit, the adrenaline comes out, everything's sore.
And then who haven't seen, they got to see that fight. It's out there now, chemo now. He's coming out, and he's carrying a cross, and that's all
250 pounds strong.
He's coming out there.
That's probably the strongest guy.
He's the strongest guy. What was his background? Was what, taekwondo? What was he?
I think he said taekwondo, but he's more of a brawler.
Brawler.
Fighter, he has a street fighter.
Uh-huh.
Wild man. And he was wild.
You finished with arm lock?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what's like, going on? But that guy is like, that fight, it was a wrong fight. It's one of those, I did not use strategy. That's the first thing after the fight, my brothers came up to me and was like, what happened? How come you did not use technique? You went straight on head to head with him. Because I heard he was strong and I decided to match strength with him.
Yeah.
250, 178. He won on the strength.
Yeah,
got both of us exhausted, but then on the end, the technique that I apply from defending myself and applying the arm lock subdue him.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a wrong strategy, that one.
Yeah, but at the end then. You continue. So that was, what was that?
That fight with Kim was pure just heart, man, I would say. That was no strategy, it was just, I left everything on the locker room, the technique, and just went just with the heart to fight him.
Mm-hmm. Who was there from the fact, you had Holker was there, right? Helsin?
On the first UFC?
No,
on the
when on you the guys Kim. Used to do the train, you used to do the Gracie train?
That was the first UFC we started. That was Hoyle, Holker, Helsin, Horion, Hickson, all the brothers.
Yeah,
more to get my father to get the energy from everybody.
That was amazing seeing that. So, yeah, those are the original.
That was the Gracie train.
what do you think, Nine? Did you see this latest Hamzat fight? Hamzat was here. He was at my cousin Idris's gym. He had the training camp, and it was after he won.
He didn't win. He dominated.
But now, what do you say for some people like, oh, man, this is like they should. That really pissed me off when they started standing them up. You know, a couple times he stood them up. The ref separated. He's on top. He's on the bottom. He gets them down. And then they stopped it. And that's something I think they should change. Like when you finish a round, I think you should go back to where you were. And not only that, when he had them, the round wasn't even ended. At one point, the ref made them stand back up. What do you think about that?
That's why I like the no time limit. Because sometimes the guy is about to finish the arm bar or choke, the bell rings. Yeah. It's this famous save by the bell, you see? Or you're mounted on the opponent, pounding him, the bell rings. I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
You should let it go.
Yeah.
Unless if they're both separated, let's say, away from each other or in a neutral position, let's say, then we'll stop the round. But if the guy is about to win, the bell ring, continue, let it go, see what happens until he escape. Not be counting to the bell, you see?
Yeah.
Saving the guy's getting punch, the bell ring, let it go a little bit to see if he's going to escape or if he's going to quit.
Yeah.
So...
So what were you saying? What would you say? Complete domination. You see, for the untrained eye, they're watching this. Some people, oh, it's boring. It's just like he's holding him down. But it was a mess.
But that's the difference in between. If you go to a fight like this in Japan, the crowd appreciates silence on the crowd. They appreciate, and the guy will do a move or escape. Mm-hmm. The crowd claps and whoa, and then quiet again. The corners can talk to the fighters. There's no silence on the stage because they appreciate the technique. Sometimes over here, I mean, all over the world, the people wants to see the blood and stand them up, let them not hit each other, knock them out. You see, they get that. That's what pleases the crowd.
Yeah.
But in Japan, the fight in Japan is different. They appreciate the technique. You get caught in an armbar and you escape, the crowd claps. My God, that was a good escape.
Yeah.
And then quiet again.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I don't know. Tell me, do you remember how old you were here? I don't know if I showed you this before. You know who that is?
No, hold on.
You can't recognize him?
Wait, let me see.
But now,
see his face. No, who is that?
But here's the guy I'm talking about now. He's coming. This guy.
Oh, that's me. I thought you were talking about the fighters over there. The guys competing.
No, but this is, you don't recognize this one here? That's you. You're coaching it with this guy.
I'm the ref on this one. Yes.
But you know who this is?
Who?
Who you're reffing?
Who is that?
That's me.
Really?
Yeah.
When was this?
This was
one of the tournaments that we did back at the Gracie Academy tournaments.
No, this was in Michigan.
In Michigan, okay.
In Detroit, I think it was. Yeah.
So this is good. Man, I had hair over there. How long ago was that?
Yeah. You're reffing my match. Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. So amazing. Just going back in time, it just takes me, you know. I remember the original days back in the 90s. Late 90s, going up, I used to travel to Torrance there. That's when Kaike was teaching.
Yep.
And you were there, and the old academy in Torrance.
The Grace Academy.
That's where the challenge matches were,
yes,
right?
Yes, on the downstairs, on the private.
Tell us for people that don't understand what we're talking about. You know, what were these? You literally had people now coming in, bringing their kung fu karate instructors because you guys put out a challenge match. Okay, if you think your style is the best, come. Let's put it to the test.
Students who come in and sometimes they let us know, hey, I take karate on the side. I train jiu-jitsu with you guys and take wrestling or judo or whatever style. And my instructor over there, I told him about you guys, and he doesn't believe. He wants to come in and test it out. So our job is to convince the instructor to become a student too. So he would come in very polite. It was not out of hand. No, very polite. Thank you. Nice to meet you guys. Thank you for having me. I would like to try out. I heard you guys do this Vale Tudo or MMA style or everything goes. Karate against different styles, so we just kind of, okay, let's go. You do your thing, I'll do my thing. So he will come in, if he's a karate guy or the kung fu guy, whatever style, and he will try to use their style, and we subdue them without hurting them. We try to just kind of maybe a slap on the face just to show who is the boss, you see. But the idea is to make them become students.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't to beat them up.
And did
that
it work?
Horton always make sure, do not draw blood on these guys. If you lose your head, because sometimes in the middle of the fight you lose your head, open hand slap only. But do not throw an elbow and cut the guy's face open, please. And hard to make sure to tell me and tell the students. A lot of the students did that. Sometimes I just wasn't always me. It was the students who do it too.
I heard you say something very touching. You said because he's your older brother, he was like a second father to you.
Yes.
Yeah, Horian.
Hard. I live with him. I came to America, I was 17 years old.
Yeah.
And that's when I was living with him for a long time.
Yeah. So you recently were in Bosnia also. Tell us about that.
Awesome trip.
You enjoy Bosnia?
Idris is a good host. The hotel was very nice. The class was a full class. We got a full class over there. A lot of potential.
Uh-huh.
And then we sightseeing.
How was the sightseeing? How was just the country, the people? Were they?
I got to tell you, before I went, when Idris asked me, let's go to Bosnia, I was thinking, oh my God, I'm going to go to a war zone.
Oh.
Awesome. But then there's no war zone.
It's did you see some of the remnants still?
Yeah. But there was no war zone. No. There was no very peaceful, very mellow, very clean.
Mm-hmm.
People were nice. You see, no troubles, no... Everybody very well receiving the group that went with Idris
people,
very well.
People called Bosnia the Jerusalem of Europe. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, nice. The Jerusalem of Europe, because this is where you see many of the multicultural, where you see people from all different religions, and they come, you know, there. They live there peacefully. It's a beautiful.
The food is awesome.
Yeah.
Chivape. Yeah. Very nice. I like chivape.
Some pita.
The pita, yes.
The pita. Yeah.
The food, the place, the east meets east, west.
That's the Barchashia. That's the old town.
The old town.
That's beautiful, huh? Yes. Takes you like, it's modern, and then...
In the mountains.
In the mountains, yeah.
So we did everything. It was just fast trip, but we did everything like in 4 days.
Mm-hmm. So part two soon, hopefully. Yeah.
Yes.
Tell me. So then, most people who know that you're into shooting and rifles, but you're also now to bow hunting.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like all the weapons, I did some of the shooting. The guys taught me a very good class
in Bosnia
too.
Uh-huh.
So they taught me a very good class.
How's the transition for bow hunting? But before they didn't have the guns, now
with the rifle, if I see it, I can shoot it.
Yeah.
With bow, I got to be up close. It's like 30, 40 yards, you see. So to get that close to an animal, man, it's a whole new challenge. They smell well, they see well, so you got to be able to hide movement. You got to smell, the animal can see it. So it's just the challenge of getting this close to the animal. It's like, it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even it's not to kill the animal. I'm not doing to kill the animal. It's more of the challenge of getting close to the animal. You see, it's like a wild beast, and you get that close. It's like, a feeling.
You showed me that the deer. Was that with the rifle? Were you able hunting with the bow?
I hunt elk before with the bow. Yes.
Did you catch any?
Just make it clear.
Yeah.
Whatever I kill, I eat.
Yes.
Yes. The heads are my house. The hides are my house. The meats are my house. Everything comes home with me.
Eat.
The leftovers, the other animals who eat.
Yeah.
So there's no wasting. There's no killing for the fun of it. Just make sure for the viewers to know that. I got to be clear on that.
Yeah.
So, but I hunt before with a elk with a bow, 30 yards shot. I hunt deer.
But, we live in modern day age, but when you go back, I mean, how else? Hunter, gather. This is how you got to go out and get the food. How you have
if you
go.
Don't hunt, how you don't eat.
Exactly.
So you got to learn, you got to know how to take the hide that way, use the hide to become blankets and use the meat and everything. Nothing goes to waste.
Yeah. Here with Hoyce Gracie, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No, sadly.
Do you know anything about Islam?
Not really.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No. Sorry.
You know what Islam means?
Islam? No.
We've been told that they're out to... Well, that's what they say on TV.
Anything.
I know it's in the Middle East, isn't it?
Well, that you can have four wives.
Brothers and sisters, as you can see, there are so many Americans who don't know about Islam. We need your help to change that.
Back here with the legend Hoyce Gracie, and giving you guys, for those who have kind of not studied the history, we start off with that really important history lesson. I mean, going back into the start of the UFC, and now how's life going now? How is it? You're doing a lot of seminars.
But before even the UFC.
Please tell me.
We have to go back in Brazil. It didn't start on the UFC.
Yeah.
It started back in Brazil when my family first learned jiu-jitsu and started to teach. That's when they became a quest for them to find out which style of martial arts is the best. Mm-hmm. So they started that back in Brazil long time ago. They could not just teach jiu-jitsu, the art, but they had to put it to the test. Yeah. What if I fight somebody bigger, stronger? So this whole quest started back in Brazil.
Okay, we're going to go, let's go deeper
now. My uncles, my father, my cousins, my brothers, back in Brazil. And then when Horion came to America, and that's when what happens in Brazil, people don't know. So even today, people don't hear about it, you see. And we do have all this technology. But what happens in Brazil stays in Brazil. So when Horion came to America, nobody knew about Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, who Hélio Gracie and Carlos Gracie was. So that's when Horion, okay, I got to start teaching. I got to start to build up the name over here. So he brought the same concept from Brazil to America.
So now we're going even deeper. We go back to the two brothers. So then you have Carlos and Hélio.
It was actually five of them.
Five of them.
George. Osvaldo, Gastão, Hélio, and Carlos, yes. Yeah.
And then how did they, for the people that don't know, they hooked up with a Japanese, was it, businessman?
As far as I remember, my grandfather, who was doing business with a Japanese gentleman in Brazil.
Yeah.
And in exchange of good faith, he taught my uncle, Carlos, a class. But he was teaching in Brazil some other people, and I guess my uncle got hooked up with the other people that learned from the Japanese and learned from them. My uncles learned from them. And then my father could not do it. He was too small. So he learned by watching my uncle's teach class.
Mm-hmm.
So one day my uncle Carlos was late for a class. My father jumped in and told the student, hey, I'll review the moves with you. Until my brother gets here, I'll pass the self-defense program on you, and taught the student a class. And he didn't invent the jiu-jitsu, the new jiu-jitsu. He adapted for himself because he was weak.
Modified?
He modified a little bit for himself. He had leverage into the moves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when my uncle showed up towards the end of the class, showed up apologizing. I'll replace the class. The student looked at my uncle and said, like, no. From now on, if you don't mind, I'd like to take classes from Hélio.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when my father and my uncles were like, hold on, what did you show him? You never done this. You just watching. What did you do to convince the student to become your student?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's when my father took over the jiu-jitsu scene.
And then from there, then we got, fast forward, so this is the beginnings. Now you got some time. How many years now you got, how many until the actual UFC?
Oh, that was many, many years. Because once my father took over, and then they started challenging people to put it to the test, to see if what they know was good enough to defend themselves in a real fight. So they start fighting people in Brazil, and then my cousins came in and my brothers came in, and we're fighting people to test, to see if Gracie Jiu-Jitsu really work in a real fight.
And that's happening, those challenge matches, Gracie in action, are happening in Brazil long before they were happening here.
Before, yes, in America.
And this is where Hickson had most of his fights coming up, growing up now?
He has a few fights, yes. He's had a lot of fights, but some of them back in Brazil, yes.
Uh-huh. And so, the other family, Henzo, everybody
was fighting in Brazil, but then but people in the world never heard about it until Horion came to America. Horion taught for many years in America, and then he decided, okay, by the best way to advertisement, it would be put on TV. So let's create the UFC. And that's when he came up with the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put a fight, live fight going on TV. A lot of people was against. A lot of people was like, man, there's no way. It's illegal to fight on the streets. How are you going to put two guys to fight on live TV? And that's when pay-per-view came in play.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Horton figured out the loopholes and got together the pay-per-view people and create the first UFC. And once America found out, is spread to the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
Those people all over the world looking at it, and it's like, because they brought Japanese gentlemen to fight, they brought Holland Dutch guy to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when everybody was like, wait a minute, what's going on over there in America? And then on the second UFC came along, it was 16. First one was 8-man tournament, 3 fights in one night. So it's not like today, one fight. You had to fight 3 fights on the same night. So you fight, you win, you go back to the locker room, the bracket keep moving. If the next fight, those fights, they had like between 10 to 15 minutes resting between one fight and the other.
Mm-hmm.
Finish fight, 15 minutes later, I'm back in the cage fighting again. So, and then there was a...
That's another very important point. Like right now, how things are set up, you got one fight, one match, that's it. But back then, you had multiple fights in one...
No time limit. You go back to the locker room, fight is over. You go back to the locker room. If you won, you just got to breathe for a few minutes until the next fight, because it's a bracket. The bracket doesn't stop.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
These guys fight, they win. But then the next one, this guy wins. So, as soon as this guy win, he got to go back to fight again.
Mm-hmm.
So,
because you got process of elimination now.
Elimination,
brackets,
yes.
And then this one wins, fights this
There's
one.
There's no commercial
going.
Break.
No.
You go back to the locker room and like, okay, time is up. Got to go. Let's go. Next fight coming up already. Can't stop the show.
Wow.
So the UFC 2 was 4 fights in one night.
Mm-hmm.
16-man tournament. So that's when really shocked everybody.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Wow. So what lessons now? You've come up and I heard you talk about confidence, you know, training into the martial arts. You have a lot of youth kids coming up nowadays. They're really, you know, experts at maybe playing the Xbox and sitting down, you know, not being active. But, you know, just in general, you know, getting them how important it is to be somebody who trains martial arts, to be somebody who's active. And what advice do you give?
Sports in general teach kids discipline. You show up to a football or basketball game without the right equipment, sorry, the coach is not going to play. He's not going to let you play.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have discipline. You have to get up a certain hour. You have to eat something before the match, before the game. So sports in general give discipline. Mm-hmm. Martial art, jiu-jitsu gives confidence. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned also the discipline. When I was listening to you talk about many of the Dagestani fighters, what separates them is this actual discipline. Can you talk about that? They're not, you know, worried about going to the nightclubs or
There's no partying. There's no alcohol. There's no smoking, drinking. There's no day off. There's no... that's one thing that my father and my brother always talk to the family, goes, okay, Royce is fighting. Don't bother him. Don't ask him to watch the kids. Don't ask him to babysit, to go to the supermarket, to buy milk, to buy food for the... No. Leave him alone. You see, he's only got to think. That's discipline. So you can have... Oh no, it's okay. I can work. I can be home and with the wife and kids and then go train for a fight. No. You gotta cancel all that. There's no birthdays, there's no holidays. You have to be disciplined to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference. People ask me all the time, what's the difference of Dagestans? They're disciplined. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no birthdays, there's no holiday, there's no Sundays.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Sunday, I can drink. No. It's Sunday, I can eat junk food. Nope. You got to have discipline. That's the main thing.
I saw the, you have a whole, I mean, you've been traveling all over the world. You got a whole list of countries that you visited.
63.
Is Dagestan one of them?
I haven't been to Dagestan yet.
Okay.
One day. And Saudi Arabia is probably next. I haven't been there yet.
Yeah.
We're working on that.
We're working on that. Go to Mecca, yeah. So we're working on that, but Dagestan, we'll see. We talked to, I don't know why you haven't been to Dagestan. You know,
not yet.
You know Rizwan?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to have to talk to Rizwan, see what's going on.
I love to travel.
Yeah, Rizwan, let's see
the world.
We got
to
get Hoist down to Dagestan. Rizwan,
actually, when I was in Bosnia.
That's Habib's manager,
yes.
Rizwan, yeah.
When I was in Bosnia with Idris, he asked me, Idris was like, how many countries have you been? And I was like, you know what, I never stop to count.
Yeah.
So right there in Bosnia, I start to make the list. It was 62, but then I went to Colombia this year. So yeah, that's 63 now.
Mm-hmm.
62 was Bosnia.
Yeah.
63, Colombia.
Wow. And then
in America, I stopped by, might as well. If I'm going to count, I'm going to count all of them.
Mm-hmm.
In America, I have not been to Maine and Rhode Island. That's the only two states that I'm missing. Maine and Rhode Island.
Now you're also,
I got to go just to complete the whole United States.
I'm going to have to come visit you there when you open your school, because you're not far from me. We're almost like our neighbors from where we're at
In Tampa. In Sarasota, yes.
Yeah, in Sarasota, not too far. Yeah, so your school.
It's on the work. It's going to take about another year, year and a half. We're building from ground up.
Yeah.
So
that's going to be exciting, yeah.
Let you know when the grand open come.
Yeah. Did we miss anything else that you like to let people know when you're talking about the history that, you know, we talked about, now even went deeper into the startings with the brothers and then the challenge matches there, and then we come here, and I mean, and now it's what it's evolved to. Is there anything that you like to point out?
That Gracie Jiu-Jitsu is a self-defense art. It's not for martial art in general. I don't believe was made for sports, for point system, for tournaments. I know a lot of people don't like to hear, they like to compete, but I believe that martial art in general was made for you to defend yourself in a street fight situation.
Mm-hmm.
So all of them, karate was not made to score a point, like not last Olympics in France, but the one before that, I think was karate. The guy knocked the other one out. He got disqualified for excessive force. He hit too hard. What a shame. Karate was made to knock people out, you see. So, I don't believe in point system. So I tell people all the time, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu is a self-defense art. For you to defend yourself in a street fight situation, or even to beat up the opponent, but to defend yourself.
That's exactly the system. I continue on with that same protocol, teaching, it's the same thing. And I think that's been kind of forgotten. And I think that's very important, that this is what it's mainly started with, self-defense.
A lot of people wants to go to tournaments and...
Yeah.
It's not...
From all the basic things that can happen on the street, from the being, because you'll see somebody who might have a purple belt or whatnot, but cannot get out of it, like the basic headlock
or defend a punch.
Yeah.
You see, so you got to know how to defend yourself in a street fight situation.
And this is the essence of Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Yeah. And we're here with Hoist. Thank you, Hoist. It's always a pleasure
to
connect with you. And hopefully next time we'll meet.
Let's go together to Bosnia.
Bosnia, we got Bosnia, and then we got Mecca coming up.
Saudi Arabia.
Yes. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure. God bless you. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum. And thank you guys for tuning in. Subscribe if you haven't already. We'll see you next time. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.